took in the clothes. Nobody said very much. Just some old wild shirts and a couple of pairs of pants, which nobody really wanted to touch. Mama come in, she picked up a book, and Papa asked her what it was. Someone else asked, what do you care? Papa said, well, just because. Then he started to take back the clothes and hang them on the line. It was January the 30th. Everybody was feeling fine. The next day, everybody got up, seeing if the clothes were dry. Dogs were barking, a neighbor passed. Mama, of course, she said hi. Have you heard the news? He said with a grin, the vice president's gone mad. Nothing we can do about it, said the neighbor. It's just something we're gonna have to forget. Yes, I guess so, said Ma. And then she asked me if the clothes were still wet. I reached up to touch my shirt, and the neighbor said, are those clothes yours? I said, some of them, not all of them. He said, you always help right around here with the chores. I said, sometimes, not all the time. And then my neighbor, he blew his nose. Just as Papa yelled outside,
Mama wants you to come on back in the house and bring them clothes.
I just do it on toes, so I did it, of course.
Smoking good.
Mishki Broadcast. Black Sheep Radio coming to you live from the bleak barren tarmac known as University Avenue here in the city of St. Paul. Well, hello, Steve.
Hey, Mishki, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just was wondering, I realize your advertisers pay to put their commercials on, but I know there's got to be other people like me that just hate some of them, and I'm wondering if we could get some kind of fund together, we would actually pay to block some of those commercials.
Some of them, not all of them. Which ones would you like to block?
Well,
go ahead
start
and say
out
it.
With. I don't know. I hate
Let's
to put
honest.
People down.
Nah, put them down. Insult the hell out of them. Who are you thinking about?
First of all, get rid of that Corda Slim commercial.
Hey, Kenny, you hear that? Go ahead. What next?
Some of those public service announcements.
Well, I'm with
annoying.
You there. We shouldn't be playing any on this show. I've told Boomer to yank those. Any others?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, sure. We'll take care of that. Thanks so much for your time. Hello? Oh, the old dial tone, huh? Two can play at that game. Dial tone. Hello? Megan?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Mishki.
What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just calling. You're in rare form tonight, so I thought I'd call and tell you that I'd be your dance partner.
You will?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Back.
Matt.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you. You're the man that would know the answer to this.
Sure would, yeah.
Why do men in sports find Jesus, and why do women in sports turn lesbian?
Well, men in sports find Jesus because of an extraordinary guilt about their extraordinary wealth and a feeling the feeling that if they express a great faith in Jesus, that somehow that'll make up for the fact that they're living like Pharisees.
Okay.
Now, women choose to be lesbian because they find themselves in a culture that believes great achievement is a masculine thing when it comes to athleticism, and thus they continue down that line until they fully embrace a lesbian lifestyle, and usually the butch lesbian lifestyle. That's my take. I appreciate your call. Hello? Are you gagged right now? Okay, then. Thank you. Donna?
Whoa! Sorry.
What was that? What was that?
Oh, that wasn't very nice of me.
No. You want to explain yourself, please?
No, because then I'll laugh, and I've got a really bad cold. And
oh, you do?
It'll just won't sound good.
Okie dokie.
Hey.
Yeah.
Did you finish the CD?
Well, you mean that project I started last June, and now it's mid-October? Well, let me tell you a little something about that CD.
It didn't really happen.
It was a mistake. It was worth every hour. the final mix was today.
Oh, see, now, was it last night that you were bummed out about the twins?
Yes, I was real down about them, whereas tonight, after the loss, I'm just giddy because I really saw the series ending. No, it was the night before last that I was bummed out. Night before last, when they lost in extra innings, that was where I said, it's over. The series is over. That the heartbreak of that loss could only mean it's the Yankees in Boston and the ALCS, and I knew it. And so tonight it just was the inevitable. But two nights ago I was crushed. And I was saying last night on the air that for those who think I'm overly dramatic about this or that I have my priorities screwed up, I mentioned that there are others, and Mark Moeller had told me yesterday when I met him for a beer
that he had
been up all night after the Twins' loss, unable to sleep, and was lying in bed saying to himself,
game.
It's just a game, it's just a game, get over it, and he couldn't. So it isn't just me, it's others, and he's been alive longer than I have and has a lot more experience seeing Minnesota lose important games.
Well, I remember because I listened.
Yeah.
Tonight, but Tommy.
Hey, Donna.
I thought that you were bummed out. I thought that CD is done, and that's why he's bummed out.
No, actually, I'm not going to have a letdown there. I'll tell you, particularly on Lydia, I was listening to late this afternoon. Extraordinary work on that tune. Really, really beautiful, and several other people were commenting on the rather haunting quality in your voice from that song. I would love to have you hear what that has ended up sounding like. Very, very nice work on that. Just it happened to be the last song I heard this afternoon, so it's in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, just you wait till you hear what that voice of yours does to that song. It makes it. I just want to let you know that. But here's the deal. There is going to be a CD release party probably within the first week of December. I'll have to get back to you on that. I'm hoping it can be at O'Gara's Garage. I will be in touch with you when I get all that nailed down. But first week in December is what we're looking at. First 9-10 days, anyway, of December.
Who's going to run sound?
They have somebody there.
Will they have effects?
Effects?
Yeah, like reverb and stuff.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, on the microphone?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's a professional operation over there. I mean, they do a lot of big-time acts over there at O'Gara's Garage. I mean, that's, I'd say, the premier spot in St. Paul.
I'm sorry, I don't get out much.
No, you don't, not with seven children.
No.
Hopefully you can get out that night, though.
Hey, you know, there's two Lunan songs that I wanted to just mention.
Mikey Lunan, as in the Looney Bin band, as in the house band of this broadcast?
Yeah.
What
him.
Songs?
There's one called Yvonne, and there's one called The Arthur Way of Life. Now, he did two versions of Arthur Way of Life, but I've got the first version. And I also got a recording of Yvonne somewhere around here. And I wanted to sing Yvonne to you, but I don't know.
Well, does it go, Hannah's name was Yvonne? No, that's Levon. That's Levon. This is Yvonne.
That is a good song, though. Let's see. And it shall better Levon.
That's the tune.
And
but this
shall
is.
Shall be good. Yeah.
This is Levon's wife, Yvonne. No, Yvonne.
You know, and
Laverne.
The violins in that Levon song.
Sometimes I want to pull Bernie Taupin aside, though, and just say, what are you doing, man? Hey, Donna, do you ever want to pull Bernie Taupin aside, though, and just say, what's going on with this one, Bern? Levon, what happened? What were you doing that day? What is he talking about?
I don't know.
A lot of times I don't know where Bernie's going. I mean, obviously it works, but...
You know, like, and they said that the 70s were so,
brutal.
Bankrupt.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
You know what? They never mean the 70s. What they mean is the second half of the 70s. See, a lot of people mistake these decades as being within the parameters of a decade, the 60s being 60 to 70. But the 60s were 64 to 74. The 70s were probably 75 to 85. The 50s... were probably 54 to 64.
When were the 70s?
Well, they were not. They were not
75 to 80.
You gotta go past Nixon for sure. You gotta probably get up into Gerry Ford post Vietnam. The '60s did not start until the death of Kennedy. So the '60s are not really.
I'm
you
sorry.
Have.
I shouldn't joke about that. Hey, do you know Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
Know it. I wrote it. It was me, Steve Goodman, and Orson Welles.
It was not.
Oscar Wilde. I mean, no. Otis Day. No. Otis Spann. No. Doggone it.
And this loneliness for me. We should sing that.
Otis Redding. That's right.
Yeah.
For a second, I was going to say Otis from the Andy Griffith Show. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a very good talk show
gal. No, you're very bad at that. How are you at dancing?
I was thinking of that shuffleboard queen tonight.
Shuffleboard cliche? Oh, the shuffleboard queen. We lost her for the season, yeah. If she makes it to spring, we'll hear from her again. But she's one of those snowbirds who heads south. She's already out of here. We had about 3 or 4 calls from her, and then she disappeared for the season. A lot of those old people will do that. They're not real Minnesotans. A real octogenarian born and raised in Minnesota with Minnesota in the blood sticks it out. And some little boy comes and says, can I shovel your snow? And they say, get out of here, kid. I'll shovel my own snow. We had a few ladies like that in my neighborhood growing up. People willing to die with a shovel in their hand. I loved those ladies.
Well, you know, I just made some blueberry muffins.
Wow, boy, you're having a big Friday night. When I was a kid, I used to make a double batch of chocolate chip cookies every Friday night.
I also made ratatouille.
Oh, ratatouille. I've had that.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'm a topsy-turvy tuna casserole guy on Saturday mornings, first thing.
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh.
That was the last thing that I thought that you would say for favorite food.
No, that's my favorite, yeah. Yeah, I love that stuff, boy.
Hey, what does Rosie look like?
Redhead like you.
She's a redhead?
Yeah.
Wow.
And looks like she could have bartended in Dublin or something.
Wow. Long hair?
Yeah.
Is she fair-skinned?
To Midland, I think. Yeah, fair-skinned. Oh, the Irish skin, yeah. 7-8 bouts of melanoma.
What color eyes? I've never met her.
Green eyes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, it doesn't have an accent.
No brogue. Actually, her boys tell her she's got a St. Paul accent, which is actually a real deal. I was out on the West Coast recently and was accused of being from St. Paul. They didn't even say Minnesota.
What'd they say?
Well, I had told them to talk slowly that I was from the Midwest. But then they said, oh, I could tell, St. Paul.
No way.
And I said, not that slowly. Yeah.
They talk faster than we do here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they throw in words that aren't even in the English language. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good talking to you, Donna.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. There goes Donna Dahl. She sings on the new CD that will be out in Two Jerks of a Lamb's Tail. Hello, Craig. You know, I had a dog I named Craig when I was a boy. My neighbors thought that was a bad name for an animal. It was a cute little, what do they call the ones with the big ears? Cocker Spaniel, and I named it Craig.
Really?
What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you if you see shadows in your dreams.
See them in my dreams. I see them now. I see them, they're always in the corners, though, you know. They're never out front. They're always in the corners of your eyes.
Do they have red eyes?
The shadows?
Yes.
No, they don't have eyes. They're just shadows. You know what a shadow is? It's a dark form that moves across a lighter area.
But is it alive?
Well, it's a shadow, Craig. That's about as... Oh, what happened to Doug Thompson, the attorney? Oh, standing by, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. I mean, not Doug Thompson, Tom Garrison.
What the heck are you talking about?
I thought for
tonight?
A second your
First
name was...
First I'm Wildcat, and now I'm...
Doug Thompson? I thought you were the attorney Doug Thompson. He represented the gal who...
No one's ever referred to me as an attorney ever.
Oh.
People have known me to be in front of an attorney.
Have you done time?
I'll never tell.
Oh. I think we've had this conversation.
I'm pleading the fifth.
I've done a little bit.
I think
in Stearns County, I did a couple of days with a fellow
You're
who,
the guy.
The fella they put me in with as a cellmate was in for murder. Murder! Interesting fella. Just lied on his cot all day and cussed. That's all he did. Just a very, very unhappy man.
And you were in the other cot telling jokes.
No, I was terrified, I don't mind saying. Tom, I thought I might be raped. And the thought of that made it very difficult to sleep. What's in the news?
So you kept that
I kept
soap
a vigil.
On a rope.
I kept a vigil up there. I had a little candle, and I prayed to God that if my bunkmate did get designs on me like that, that God would see fit to castrate him. What's on your mind? I mean, what brings you here? How much do you weigh? What's your name? I mean, hello. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I guess we're going to do the news.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of the news. You know why? It's almost all bad
news.
So
why don't you take a nap, and
I'll do that and go ahead, then.
I'll just be
good
a
night.
Minute. Just be a minute or two.
All right,
all right thank you. Partly cloudy and 54 degrees is what it is now in St. Paul, Minneapolis. More evidence that Minnesota is a battleground state in this year's presidential election. With almost a month to go until the election, Minnesota already has about 100,000 more registered voters than it had on the morning of Election Day 4 years ago. Meanwhile, police are investigating a man discovered at the Twin Cities airport with hundreds of completed voter registration cards stashed in the trunk of his car. The cards had been filled in months ago, but had never been submitted to elections officials for processing. Meanwhile, there was a moment during tonight's debate when President Bush and the moderator, ABC's Charles Gibson, interrupted each other as Gibson attempted to ask a follow-up question about whether the military draft may be reinstated. The president wanted to make a point that the United States was, or rather has partners, Britain included, in the coalition fighting the Iraq war.
President, let's extend for a minute.
Let me just one question. I got to answer this.
Exactly. And with reservists being held on duty.
No, let me answer this, what he just said about.
Well, I wanted to get into the issue.
You tell Tony Blair we're going alone.
Meanwhile, President Bush and Senator John Kerry were peppered with 17 questions during the 90-minute debate in St. Louis tonight. Bush accused Kerry of being indecisive and an advocate of big government. Kerry accused Bush of blowing a surplus and creating record deficits. Fox News reporting an explosion near a polling station in Afghanistan tonight. The blast occurred near Mazar-e-Sharif. It's the first time in Afghan history a direct presidential election is underway. Voters are headed to schools, mosques, and hospitals to cast their ballot. A full vote count could take up to 2 weeks. SkyMax 5 weather for the Twin Cities tonight. Clear to partly cloudy, an overnight low near 46. Tomorrow on Saturday, very nice and sunny. A high near 69. Sunday should be nice and sunny, too. A high near 70. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's partly cloudy, 54 degrees at the talk station, AM 1500, KSTP. You can wake
and
up.
And now with the forecast, here's Bob.